This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you could even subscribe to the Grand Old Program on iTunes. And Jeffrey, if you go to www.fredandjeff.com, you can also check out...
How many W's was that?
www.fredandjeff.com.
Yeah.
You can actually check out some pictures of us in all of our regalia. Download shows from back in the day when we started this program. Back in the 1800s. And so...
You know what, Fred? Interesting piece of information, and I posted it earlier last week on Facebook, our Facebook page, was when we first started our show years ago. Remember the promo?
Yeah, we talked about guess how or find out how Broadway got its name.
Right.
And so 3 years later.
And then there's a thing in the paper, the Star, that where they wrote that sure enough, Fred Ronstadt, not you, of course, but the Fred Ronstadt put up on the side of the hardware store,
I am
Broadway.
The Fred Ronstadt.
And it was, they called Ronstadt's Broadway Street, and then, you know, shortened, of course, to the street we know it as of today.
Broadway Boulevard.
Broadway Boulevard.
That was...
So there!
That was interesting, Jeffrey.
I told you that was the truth, Fred.
So do that. Follow us. If you actually, you know, Jeff is actually really good at updating the Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and look for the Fred and Jeff Show, you'll see all sorts of things that he... I mean, he sits at his desk all day long looking for links
to put on
Facebook.
You know what I do? I share a lot. So if I see something cool from the Loft or the Zoo or the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, any of the folks that we've talked about on the show, I link their cool stuff that they're doing to the Fred and Jeff Show page. So if you don't want your Facebook all completely spammed out with a bunch of stuff, you could just like Fred and Jeff and you'll get it all from us. Just one little guy.
Yeah. Yeah, get all your spam from one source, the Fred and Jeff Show.
Well, what do you call that? Get all your information.
All right, well, speaking of information, you know, there's some really cool stuff going on. I mean, always cool stuff going on. And, you know, the low-hanging fruit, obviously, is the rodeo parade's coming up on the 21st. And then the rodeo is actually going on a couple days prior to that. They call it Slack. But from the 21st...
The Slack.
Yeah, you know, the first couple days of the rodeo is when they sort of, you know, get rid of the chafe. They separate the wheat from the kernel from the straw.
You're funny, Fred. But you're very funny.
What is that, Jeffrey?
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
So, are you watching TV over there?
No. So, one of the things that we want to do here on the show, folks, is we want to find some old Tucson radio commercials. Because when we start our show, if a lot of you may not know this, but we pay homage to two of the icons of TV and radio from years gone by, one of them being Hank Lomanac and the other one being Jay Taylor. Because when I say that's exactly right, Fred, I'm mimicking an old Hank Lomanac, Jim Click, you know, staying up for the late show, you know, where they used to sit around and banter about a movie. And Fred's, you're giving homage, paying homage to Jay Taylor with your,
That's exactly right.
Mama. Mama. Yeah, whatever. But so we're going to find some old Tucson radio commercials and throw them in there just to, you know.
Or That's a Ganga. Austin Nagy.
Yeah, that's from Tucson. What was that? Furniture City.
Yes, on that.
Yeah, Furniture City? Yeah, I think so. So anyhow, sorry, folks. I got carried away there.
Yeah, thank you for that bunny trail, Jeffrey. So the rodeo is coming up, and that goes through the 24th of February. Now, Jeffrey, you and I were altar boys in our youth.
Yeah, no, Fred. We were knights of the altar.
Okay, we were knights. We were altar boys.
Right.
And every Easter we used to do the Stations of the Cross.
Correct.
And you had to carry the little cross, and then the two acolytes had the candles.
Right.
And we'd carry them from station to station, mm-hmm. and there'd be prayers and meditation for each one, and we had to stand there very still for each one. Do you remember how many stations there were? How many Stations of the Cross are there?
I remember I couldn't stand still for three. At least after number three, I was all over the place.
All right. There are 14.
14 stations.
But
okay.
The reason I bring this up is...
Why do you bring that up, Fred?
At the De Grazia Studio of the Sun...
Up on Swan?
Yeah, they're having Way of the Cross... De Grazia Way of the Cross exhibit. And there's actually... De Grazia did 15 pieces.
One extra. Could it be the lost piece?
It is a lost piece. It's never seen on any other Stations of the Cross.
Wow.
It's the Resurrection.
Ah.
So you have the four Stations of the Cross, and then the final piece is the Resurrection.
Welcome to Catholic History with your host, Fred Bronstadt.
So the De Grazia Way of the Cross exhibit is going on at the De Grazia Studio of the Sun.
Cool.
And that's really cool, and especially since we are now into Lent. Be a nice time to go up and enjoy one of our local artists and meditate on the season.
Hey, by the way, Fred, what did you give up for Lent?
I gave up cigars, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
You know what?
47 days of cigarless Fred.
Will Anthony's Cigar Emporium be in business on the other side of Lent if you've given up cigars?
They've actually planned for this. So they have some reserves.
They've laid off staff.
Yeah, that's right. So,
so you know what, Fred? Yes. We in my household, we do not give things up for Lent. We add things.
Like what? Calorie pounds?
You know,
gain 10 more pounds?
No, you say, okay, I'm going to walk every day, or I'm going to say a prayer every day, or I'm going to do something to enrich my life every day as to take something away. That's what we do. So I think I'm going to smoke a cigar every day. That will enrich my life.
Good for you. Have a shot of tequila as well.
No. That's too much enriching.
All right. So fun today. Actually, this ends today at Old Tucson. Shootout at the Chaparral. They have stunt teams from around the country competing at Old Tucson. So if you go out to Old Tucson, you're going to see some high-quality stunt teams.
High-quality H2O. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Going out and doing their thing, shooting at each other and jumping off of buildings. And pretending to be dead. So go out to Old Tucson, and today's the last day for that. The Tucson General Mental Show continues on, the 59th annual.
And thank goodness those folks do a lot of good for our community, bring in a lot of money, so we like them.
Well, they also bring in a lot of cool stuff. I mean,
That's true.
Free exhibits, and there's stuff you can buy, but go out and enjoy.
All family friendly.
Yeah, and a lot of those minerals come from right here in the El Pueblo in the Southwest. U of A baseball.
Yes.
Just started.
National champions.
The national champions are up and at it again. So they're playing over at High Corbett Field. And to check out, you know, just go to U of A baseball and check out their schedule.
By the way, I would like to say congratulations to Kyle Jividen from Swore High School, who won the state of Arizona heavyweight championship in wrestling this last week. Congratulations, Kyle.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple last things. FC Tucson. The Desert Diamond Cup match, soccer match number three, or football match number three, mm-hmm. depending on how you like to say that. Salt Lake versus New England on the 20th. And there's two last things. One, Puppets Among Us, Jeffrey. There are Puppets Among Us.
I love Puppets Among Us.
On March 2nd, they're going to have a puppet cabaret. And it's a variety show featuring experimental acts by a selection of Tucson's most fabulous performers and puppeteers. Now, these guys are so creative, and it is so entertaining. We suggest you go to the Playhouse. It's on West St. Mary's Road. It's, you know, cheap. One night, March 2nd at 7:30. The doors open at 7.
It's not cheap. It's inexpensive.
It's inexpensive.
Yes.
$10.
Inexpensive.
And $8 for students and seniors. And on the weekend of March 22nd, through the 24th, they're also having another puppet event that we'll be talking about down the line.
Right.
Now, here's the last thing, Jeffrey.
No. We got more.
Well, this is the last thing for me.
Okay.
The rivalry between Tucson.
Oh, no.
And the ungodly people living north of us.
Is this Tucson Roller Derby?
No.
Oh, It's not?
Well, no, but that could be, I could have used that segue or that introduction.
The rival from the Tucsonans and the other people.
The ungodly Northerners.
Yes. No, we like the Northerners, but it's the Centralers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The ungodly Centralers. University of Arizona ice hockey. The
yes!
final weekend is February 22nd and 23rd. The saintly University of Arizona versus...
They're so good. They're good kids.
Yeah, they're
awesome.
They
give back to the community. I think most of them are down at the food bank helping give food away.
Yeah,
they're great kids.
They're gardening and raising food.
They're wonderful kids.
They're out growing food for
small children who are hungry.
Yeah.
The elderly who can't get any food.
They're volunteering in hospitals.
These are hospitals, hospices.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
How do these kids have time to carry a 4.0 average, do all the good for the community, and
then beat the
whip
crap
up some Sun Devil Heidi?
So Friday and Saturday, February 22nd, 23rd, the last game, two last games of the season, University of Arizona versus ASU at the Tucson Convention Center.
Awesome.
So what else did you have? I mean, how can
oh,
you
no,
top
what
that?
I was going to say was, folks, don't forget, check out the Loft. Go to, I mean, now as spring approaches, spring is quickly approaching. We're going to have a couple of spring training baseball games. I think the Dodgers and the Cubs are playing next month here at Keno Sports Facility. Go to the Loft, Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, the Biosphere. Go to either of the Saguaro National Monuments. Get outside and meet your neighbor. Because I got to tell you, you make Tucson a better place if you meet your neighbor. And there are a lot of fabulous people out there that you want to meet. And I have a funny story for you, Fred.
Yes.
So Mia, my daughter, just turned 10, and her best friend forever came to town to say hello for her birthday, Ava.
We had a little party last Sunday.
That's right. And I was out in the neighborhood following them around, and I ran into a young lady by the name of Mary Peachin. And Mary writes the memories column for the Inside Tucson Business. And I'd never met Mary, even though she'd lived in her house for 30 years and we've lived in her house for 13. We'd never ran into each other. And we had just a lot of fun talking, and we're going to have Mary on the show next month. But just another example of what can happen if you're outside wandering around in your neighborhood, either getting fit or chasing your children. When you meet your neighbors, good things happen. So that's all I got for you, Fred.
That's a beautiful story.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break.
I have a tear in my eye.
We'll be right back after Fred wipes the tear out of his eye with more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air.
On Broadway.
But when you're walking,
this portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And
that's
Jeffrey.
That's exactly right, Fred.
We invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the good old program on iTunes. Now, we try to bring a cross-section of this community to you guys every week. And the interesting thing about Tucson is that, and something that hopefully...
What is the interesting thing about Tucson, Fred?
That if you pay attention, if you listen on a regular basis, you get a sense that there are people here from all over the place. There are tons of natives, obviously, that live in this community.
Mm-hmm.
But something that makes it so special is the, cross-pollinization, as
the
it
diversity.
Were. The diversity of people living that come to Tucson for whatever reason, most of them very positive, and, how they contribute to this community. Now, a lot of people don't know this or don't recognize this, but Tucson is actually, I guess, a mecca or a magnet or, some kind of drawing mechanism for a lot of refugees throughout the world. And it has been for a long time. And with us in studio today is Barbara Eisworth from Iskashita. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Woo!
Lucky. Lucky, lucky. Sometimes Fred has a hard time saying bottle.
Yeah, I can't say a lot of words. But it's a refugee network that was formed in the early 2000s. But the work was being done way before that. So sort of formalization of it. But anyways, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we get into the meat of the organization and all that kind of stuff, we always like to talk about you, who
we
you are.
We focus on fruits and vegetables.
Well, you're not a fruit or a vegetable, that I can tell.
Maybe a mineral.
Yeah, maybe.
That is my background.
What is your background?
My background is research geology, specializing in geospatial information technologies. But in 2003, my career took a severe right turn to community activism, advocating for United Nations refugees arriving from Africa, Asia, and the Middle East.
Okay, but that's amazing, by the way. It is amazing. But let's get back to you.
We like talking about you.
You are a PhD?
Correct.
And where are you from?
I'm originally from Pennsylvania. Been here for 20 years. Love Tucson.
Where in Pennsylvania?
Bradford Woods.
Bradford Woods. Is that anywhere close to Pittsburgh?
It is close to Pittsburgh.
You're a Pirate fan?
Yes.
You're my new favorite guest. It's spring training. The Buccos, we have faith this year.
All right.
So what brought you to Tucson from the Berg?
So I was in the National Center at the United States Geological Survey for a number of years and was transferred here to pursue a PhD and work with the Center for Inter-American Mineral Resources. And
is that center here in Tucson?
That the USGS has an office here,
okay.
And it was just starting up, and that was in the early 90s. And then I switched courses to more environmental science in arid lands resource sciences at the University of Arizona.
Is that because you came to Tucson and thought, gosh, I'm in the middle of a desert, maybe arid land science would be a good thing to study?
Well, certainly resources are precious here,
right.
And we're made aware of that. And that's kind of where the program started, focusing on fruits and vegetables, Fred. Fruits and vegetables. No meat.
No meat? What?
There you go, Fred.
That's
I gave up
true.
Cigars, which is a vegetable, I believe.
No, it might be a fruit.
No, it's a vegetable.
A leafy green, yeah.
Oh, it's a vegetable. Okay, there you go. So what? How did you make the jump between being an academic and growing fruits and vegetables?
Well, having worked in Latin America with the USGS.
Oh, when did that happen?
That was prior to coming here.
Oh, so we missed a whole segment
here. A whole section.
So you're in Pennsylvania. You have a life doing stuff.
Right.
And what were you doing?
Well, part of my transition was becoming a Rotary Exchange student. And I was a Rotary Exchange student in La Paz, Bolivia in the 80s. And that expanded my horizons greatly to being an ambassador of goodwill and seeing how different parts of the world live and wanting to explore language and culture, different cultures. Went to the capital at Reston, Virginia at the USGS, and then worked in Latin America, came to Tucson and resisted at the Office of Arid Lands at the U of A, resisted going to Africa, thinking, oh, I have to stay my course on my PhD. And it ended up that I did my PhD looking at soil erosion in Malawi.
In Malawi. Now, tell our listeners and Fred and Jeff, where's Malawi?
It's inland from the giant island of Madagascar, which
okay.
is more than just a movie. It's actually a place. And
hey,
inland,
you know, we're
right
supposed to tell the jokes on this show.
The Rift Valley of Africa. So it's south of Tanzania and inland from Mozambique.
And how long were you there?
So I traveled back and forth, and that's kind of what opened my eyes even wider to the haves, the have-nots, the sharing of resources. And I was so welcomed in the villages of Malawi, returning here, and they were suffering from a hunger hunger periods when I was there, and I would return here and see food going to waste on the ground and looking at Tucson's backyard bounty going to waste. And I started to think, I can do something about this.
That's incredible. So what year was it when you were there and they were going through a food shortage?
So it's sometimes yearly food shortages where families run out of food and they have to figure out what to eat. And part of our using those lessons now is food resources that refugees from Africa are used to eating: cassava leaves, pumpkin shoots, pumpkin seeds.
So it's an ongoing thing.
It is.
Okay, so it wasn't just happening that one time when you were there. It's an ongoing situation.
Ongoing thing that we're seeing.
Okay. So, folks, we got to take our break here at the bottom of the hour. We have a lot to cover with you, Dr. Barbara. And so we'll be back in, you know, a couple minutes with more good stuff about your neighbors here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. And there's some guy standing across from me. I think he's my brother.
Some good-looking cat.
And Jeff's here as well. And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And today is a culture day. My
yes,
dear
it
brother.
Is. It is culture.
And we're talking to Barbara Eisworth, who is with the Ikashita Network.
Did I say Ish that right Kashita. Again?
Thank you, Jeff.
Ikashita.
You're welcome. Ish. See the S
Ish.
There?
Ikashita.
Ikashita.
So the Ikashita Network, refugee network, and we were just talking about your time in Africa and getting to Tucson.
And Barbara, before we continue with our interview, I want to let everybody know what your mission statement is.
Okay.
Ikashita empowers refugees by creating opportunities to use their knowledge and skills to help integrate into the larger Tucson community while gaining life skills to facilitate success in America. And you are the founder of this Ikashita Refugee Network, and you founded it in 2003.
That's correct.
So before the break, we were talking about when you were doing your studying in Africa, you noticed that food was always an issue. Shortages of food were always an issue. And so those folks had to make do with pumpkin leaves and pumpkin shoots, things that Americans don't typically eat.
Correct.
And so what's the goal? I mean, what was the takeaway from these folks as you saw these folks fleeing and coming to the United States?
So I started this community work to work with teens to connect them to community. What we were seeing was pomegranates falling on the ground, figs going to waste, all kinds of food resources, native and non-native, to the Sonoran Desert, and how to use those foods. And so what we discovered was a lack of knowledge, a lack of awareness about the local food systems.
A lack of knowledge on whose part?
On everybody's part.
Okay.
I'm learning things now. Nearly 10 years later, from refugees. And I showed them date palms at Tohonatchul Park, and they say, we can make date syrup, we can make date vinegar, we can make so many things from dates. And the average Tucsonan don't know that we have date palms growing around town. And I think we've made this year in our commercial kitchen at St. Francis in the Foothills, we've made the first date syrup I think ever made here.
No
and
way.
Date vinegar, which is a fermentation process. So food preparation, food preservation And it's a cultural exchange. It's the food common denominator is just the launching pad for us to welcome these new refugees and show them that we're interested in what they bring to our community. And how they can share that is through cooking and harvesting. Many come from agricultural backgrounds, but we run the gamut with our refugee population, from PhDs from Russia, originally from Somalia, to dentists from Iraq that we work with. We have all kinds of people. Their educational backgrounds serve them, but not their degrees. So they have to go back to school for that. In the meantime, they need to make American friends. They need to meet Tucsonans as they are on their path to self-sufficiency, rebuilding their lives after war and genocide, and becoming part of this community, and ultimately after 5 years becoming U.S. citizens.
So I want to let's go over the list of folks of the countries that you help, and it's Afghanistan, Bhutan, Bosnia, Burma, Burundi, Cameroon, Congo, Cuba, Eritrea, Ethiopia, the Equatorial Guinea, or Guyana, Iran, Iraq, Ivory Coast, Liberia, Russia, Rwanda, Somalia, Sierra Leone, and the Sudan.
And this week we added Togo.
And Togo. So how are all these folks finding their way to Tucson?
So it's a U.S. government program. The United States government, like many other countries in the world, from Chile to Costa Rica to Canada to Australia and many, many of the European countries, offer refugee resettlement, a third country refugee. The definition with the UN Convention of a refugee is someone who has suffered persecution or has a reasonable fear of persecution if they return to their country of origin. So the first definition is they have to flee their country, often for their lives or fear for their lives, after war, genocide, internal strife, because of their religion, race, political activity or views or party. They are political refugees that are fleeing that situation and it's a very long process to go through, but with security checks and medical checks and examinations and interviews of what has happened and were you part of the perpetration of persecution or a victim of that. And then the U.S. government sets a quota every year to accept these refugees. And there are 10 agencies across the United States, 9 or 10, and they have local partners, nonprofits here in Tucson. There are 3, Lucent Social Services of the Southwest and the IRC and Catholic Community Services have refugee resettlement programs. We resettle between 800 and 1,200 refugees every year in Tucson.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. And the refugees have to learn a new language, usually.
New everything,
medical system, education system, and navigating all those systems without having Tucsonan friends, without having a network, is challenging. So we work with the agencies once they get here. Sometimes it's 3 days after they get here because they've heard about us in a refugee camp in Kenya or Nepal. And when they get here, they often don't have any work history. They can do community service, practice English, learn to navigate the city, make friends, make inroads and a network into the community while they're searching for jobs, and fulfilling requirements, as well as gaining skills such as the food preparation, food preserving that we do, workshops and harvesting that we do.
Now, when you say satisfy, I forgot. You said they have to satisfy certain.
So to receive assistance from the Department of Economic Security, they are required to do community service and volunteering.
Okay.
And we're trying to make that connection for them, having experience working with refugees from 10, 20 countries, some of which speak 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 languages.
Wow.
Not necessarily English.
Oh, okay.
But making that transition is something that we tried to do in an empowering way.
So I think it's real important to know that to satisfy, they satisfy that criteria, they have to help out in the community for the community
right.
to help them.
And I think it took me a couple years to learn that how important that was for them to give back
sure.
to the community that have given them a safe haven, given them refuge, a second chance at life and with
some opportunity.
Opportunities, safety and security. But beyond that, that self-sufficiency, Ishkashit is there in hundreds of ways to ensure that the refugee community is integrating. So we don't want them, like back in the day, to segregate. We want them to
integrate.
Have opportunities to integrate. So going to individual people's backyards to harvest their fruit, they see an American home for the first time. Some of the homeowners aren't able to harvest. They come out in a wheelchair and sit with us, talk to them, ask them their names and where they're from. It's an interaction. The volunteers, it's a network, not just of refugees, but it's volunteers and refugees working together to harvest the food, to redistribute the food, and then think of innovative ways of what do we do with 3,000 lemons without a freezing temperature? What do we do with 3,000 lemons from one tree? What do we do with 5,000 pounds of grapefruit? So this is people that are giving back. We donate to 30 different organizations beyond what the harvesters are taking home to their families and to their apartment complexes where they live.
We'll take a step back because you had mentioned earlier that this started off with you and some high school kids.
Correct.
High school age kids. Now, were they refugees? Or?
So the original program in Ward 3 and Ward 6, funded by Department of Neighborhood Resources, was a focus on teenagers from 14 to 18. And the first couple were, the emphasis was identifying food resources, recording the locations of food resources, creating a GIS prior to Google Earth.
GIS?
Geographic Information System.
Okay, got it.
Teaching about global positioning systems before everyone had them in their cars and phones and they were common. And then an anthropology colleague from the University of Arizona said, why don't you recruit refugees from Somalia? And that's what I did. And my path then took a severe change in trying to take the social justice issues, food justice issues, to the people that have suffered sometimes hunger periods, have lived in refugee camps for 10, 20, 30 years, have knowledge about our edible weeds that we don't have.
Time out. People will live in a refugee camp for decades?
Decades.
And that's because the number of folks that other countries will take into their communities is limited?
Correct.
Wow. Okay, we got to take a quick break as I wrap my head around that idea. And we'll be right back, folks, with more from Dr. Barbara here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet, but the fruit of the poor lemon is important.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstein with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're talking about the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And in studio with us this beautiful morning is Barbara Eisworth, who is the founder and grand dame of the Ishkashita Refugee Network. And before, I think right at the break, we're talking about some of the products that you guys make,
right?
That are available. And during the commercial break, we were looking at this catalog off the website, and you guys have got so much stuff.
Yep.
that's available to the community, and just go over some of this. I mean,
cactus pickled garlic, Fiza's date syrup, harvest chutney, marmalades of every flavor you can think of and flavors you haven't ever heard of, Meyer lemon curd, vinaigrettes, dressings, glazes. We do just about anything we can think up to use the local fruits.
And these are all recipes from...
These are a mixture of recipes. These are a mixture of recipes using the local fruits and vegetables that come in abundance. This year, we helped the Community Food Bank harvest over 50,000 pounds of squash and pumpkins,
wow,
as well as Native Seed Search, native species.
Native Seed Search.
Native Seed Search is a local nonprofit that has been preserving the seed plasms of food seeds that are common and are original and native to the Sonoran Desert.
Yeah,
and they have a farm in Patagonia.
They're a seed bank for our community.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's this African preserved lemons.
Yes.
That I'm looking at. And I mean, now how do people get this stuff? I mean, not only is it food, and you're going to be treated to a lot. I mean, there's cactus vinegar, all sorts of stuff. But there's purses and blankets and all sorts of things that, are, you know, the crafts from these communities as well.
Well, with Local First, we're trying to convince people to buy locally. So that's important to us. We have local market bags that are made on recycled sewing machines, recycled fabric, that are made into over-the-shoulder bags, originally for harvesting mesquite and fruits.
The mesquite beans.
The mesquite beans.
So you guys get together with the mesquite harvester group in town.
Yep, Desert Harvesters.
That's awesome.
We harvest and mill mesquite and carob pods into usable products. We'll be selling at Tohono O'Toole gift shop shortly, but we have an event coming up February 26th at La Cocina at Old Town Artisans, and we will be featuring all of these products that you heard about. We will be selling all day long. It's called Tuesdays for Tucson. I think it's the only restaurant in town that focuses on a different nonprofit every Tuesday, and a percentage of the sales go to that local nonprofit. We'll have some music of a from an Ethiopian refugee playing the saxophone and on the keyboards. We'll be premiering our cooking videos, celebrating refugees and local fruit through the lens of the culinary arts. It's 9 short videos that take up about a half an hour, but if you're interested in meeting refugees and seeing what we do at Ishkashita Refugee Network, visit the website at harvesttucson.org.
I have a question for you. I'm on your website, and it's harvesttucson.org. And, Fred, where did you find that catalog on the website?
No, there's the Ishkashita website. There's another one. We'll have them both. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah. But where's the catalog?
You have to...
reason I'm asking you is because if I can't find the catalog easily...
On the right-hand side, there's a thing that says Shop Ishkashita.
Got it.
And then you click on the picture.
Okay.
And then it says marketing and fundraising in a green word. It says catalog.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
catalog.
I got it. Okay. Thank you, Fred.
We're always updating on Facebook, on our blog spot. Come visit us. If you want to learn more about refugees, refugee resettlement globally, nationally, and locally, what Ishkashita's part in that is, the second Thursday of every month, we just had one. March 14th, I think, is the next one from 6 to 8 at St. Francis in the Foothills, room 3031. We have an interactive Chucky Jam full hour and a half, 2 hour session where you can hear refugee stories firsthand and learn how the whole process works. And for Americans, we should be proud that we're offering this second chance at life for the refugees across the United States, Arizona in particular, Phoenix and Tucson. Phoenix resettles twice as many refugees as we do.
Mm. Well, there is one nice thing about Phoenix. Just kidding.
Well, we still tell the refugees it's better to be in Tucson.
And we would agree. So I am still trying to wrap my head around what you told me during the break when you said that there's a refugee camp that you visited that's on the border of Sudan.
Correct.
And it's got how many people live in this refugee camp?
So there are two two large refugee camps in Kenya that serve more than 12 countries' refugees. So Kenya cannot absorb all the refugees that are seeking refuge. But we tried to negotiate, the UN and the United States and other governments tried, the surrounding countries tried to find settlements for them, solutions for them to either return to the country peacefully. That does happen. That's mm-hmm. happened in Liberia. That's happened in Burundi. Or second solution would be for them to be resettled permanently, be given the opportunity to work, the opportunity to become citizens of that country. That's happened in Tanzania for the Congolese, the Burundians, the Rwandans. That's happening in Kenya as well. And the last solution, which is a staggering number of the millions of worldwide refugees, less than 1% of them are resettled to a third country, and we resettle the majority of those. That's not to talk down to all the other countries that are offering refuge there.
But my question is, and I guess not my question, my observation is you said that there were folks that live in these refugee camps for decades. And these camps aren't, it's not like going up to the Triangle Y Ranch camp and there's cabins and a big commissary. And all kind. I mean, these folks are living.
Food rations. There's an emphasis on camp there. It's they often are iron or sun-baked bricks that they make themselves with tarps on top. It's not permanent. They are not permanent structures. The refugee camp which is not the one I visited, but Dadaab, which has serious security issues. The number I just was given in the last month was over 500,000 people in a refugee camp that was built, wait for it, something like 70,000 people.
Good Lord.
So this is a tent city that's been serving Somalian refugees who have fled Somalia during two decades or more of war there, cannot return to their country.
And so when these people come to Tucson, they are so thrilled. They must just be so thrilled to arrive in a community that has someone like you spearheading this endeavor to welcome them.
And there are a lot of people here just, I mean, obviously not to diminish what you do, but as you mentioned earlier, the three other organizations that bring these people in and take them and help to integrate them into the community.
Right. They supply them with their first apartment, their first medical appointments, do job development for them, do job search with them.
Clearly Tucson is embracing, folks who need to be embraced.
Absolutely. But if you want to get involved, we are always looking for volunteers. This year, the Community Food Bank has not been able to carry out their gleaning program, so they've forwarded all their phone calls to us.
Wow.
To harvest tens of thousands of fruits and vegetables from people's backyards. Right now, we're in citrus season. On Sunday, we harvested 5,000 pounds.
Wow.
Up near Ina and Orange Grove, and we're very grateful. Now we have to go about redistributing that. That value, according to USDA, is something like $8,250 worth of tangerines, grapefruit, tangelos, oranges, you name it. We harvest 20 different citrus, 20 different kinds of squash and pumpkins, 40 different kinds of fruits and vegetables other than what I've just mentioned.
And now, is that how you support the organization, is through the gleaning program?
No, we are supported by private donors. Some grants, like the videos of the culinary arts, was supported by the Tucson Pima Arts Council. But we are always looking for funding opportunities and donors that believe in what we are doing here to reach out to the community, connecting refugees to food, connecting organizations, food banks, food pantries, soup kitchens, homeless shelters with fresh local fruits that would otherwise go to waste.
Good for you guys. Well, you are a gem of our community. It's amazing. Yeah, during the gem show. You are amazing. Thank you so much for what you've done. This brainchild of yours is helping so many people. It's amazing. I mean, good for you.
Thank you. I can't do it without my fantastic staff and volunteers and the community. The community has to call us.
How do they get a hold of you guys?
440-0100.
Okay.
Say it again. 440-0100.
And your website is harvesttucson.org. And the funny part about it, you said harvesttucson.org. And who gave you that website? Who put that together for you?
The Arizona Advertising Federation.
AAF. Yeah, they couldn't.
Like Fred, they can't pronounce it. We love it.
I thought you said I was pronouncing it fine.
It took you the whole hour, though, Fred.
There you go.
Everybody say
Ishkashita. So harvesttucson.org.
Correct. That's the easiest one to remember, easiest one to pronounce, and the easiest one to spell.
Awesome. And on there you find the catalog of all the yummy things you guys are selling, making.
It'll be available in a couple of weeks over at Old Town Artisans.
Old Town Artisans, February 26th, all day long. Have your lunch there, have your dinner there, your dessert, your coffee, or your margarita with local fruit.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Thank you for what you do for our community. Keep up the good work.
All right. We will. Community, come join us.
All right. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. Fred, you got a little trivia question or something fun to do?
Yeah. Whoever can pronounce Ishkashita on an email to me.
You want them to record their voice?
No. Just type Ishkashita. First person to get me that word will get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist.
Just on the back end of Valentine's Day. By the way, did you have a nice Valentine's Day, Fred?
Yes, it was.
Good. Good. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. Please support our sponsors, because without them, the Fred and Jeff Show would not be possible. We couldn't do it. So get out there, meet your neighbors, enjoy the fantastic weather. I think we're through the little cold spell. And we'll see you next week for another episode of the Fred and Jeff Show.